Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Blazing Grace Show, everybody. This is Jason Graves, along with my dutiful and beautiful co-host, Taff Winnick. I just came up with that, Taff. Do you like that?
I want to work on that. I don't know. Dutiful and beautiful.
And beautiful, yeah. I don't know.
That may be the new tagline for my ministry. I don't know.
Yeah. Legend Professional Counseling. Dutiful and beautiful. I like it. Got a ring to it. If you wanted me to do the slow read for your radio commercials, just let me know. I'm there for you.
Okay. That's okay. Good to know.
Well, we want to talk about what is the vision of the new revamped Blazing Grace show here today. And of course, you know, if you've been listening to us for any amount of time, you know that we're back after a one-year sabbatical. We've got a new co-host. We're going to be doing some things to retool some things here. We've got a new producer, Mike De Herrera. Very excited. But Taff, you know, we want these folks to get a little picture today, and we want to actually invite you to help us co-create this. We'd like to have your ideas, and we're going to give you some ways to do that. But, you know, Taff, we, in our friendship, have had several times where we've just sat down and had conversations, and we thought, you know what, this would make great radio, great podcasting. And I know that that's sort of the crux of...
So I've started to record everything that you say now, just in case it's accidentally brilliant.
Was that what that... Capture it, yeah. Right? Is that what that waiver was about the other day?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But, you know, I mean, we want to invite folks into those conversations, right? I mean...
Absolutely.
I mean, we're prepared to be authentic, right? I mean, yeah. It's okay that it's on the air, that, you know, our lives are in front of thousands of people. Some folks are called to that in the body of Christ and others aren't and everything. And so we just know that that's what it's all about. You know, certainly there's limits to that, but, you know, we feel like there's things that you're struggling with out there, and we want you to know that we struggle with some of the same things. And not that we're perfect, but that it's okay to talk about them first. But what do you think are some of the challenges to that, Taff? I mean, what are the things that are challenges to people in talking about their own stuff that we can relate with?
I think it comes down for a lot of people to this. If people really knew, they're saying to themselves, if you really knew me, you might not like me as much as I think you like me right now. Or if my wife or my husband, if they really knew me, they wouldn't love me. And then I would be alone, and then I would be abandoned. So I can't really be known. I can't get everything on the table. It becomes a terrifying thing that you have to keep managing, and it's exhausting.
But yet the word clearly says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there's no temptations that seized you except that which is common to man. So in other words, what really is there out there that we could struggle with that is so bad, or the quote-unquote worst sin? I know that, you know, in dealing with my own sexual addiction and my own sexual brokenness, and even having especially the same gender thing be a part of that, that I always thought that, you know, my struggle was worse than everybody else's. And, you know, Taff, I know you work with a lot of guys who struggle with those same things. In fact, I've been thinking about, you know, asking you for some counseling here myself lately. One of the benefits of being your friend, of course, but we won't tell anybody because we know that, you know, that would be, you know, a dual relationship and everything, and unethical for, you know, me to actually see you for counseling. So
right, much less mention it on the air.
Yes, right. We'll just like that. Let's call so, it right. coffee or lunch.
Right. Okay, exactly.
But you deal with a lot of guys who deal with the same stuff, same as me, in that particular way. And does that show up a lot in your office?
Which thing?
The idea of, oh, my stuff is worse than everybody else's.
Well, we've got, you know, and if these are believing people, if these are Christian people, we have these two theologies. There's the one that we know we're supposed to have, mm-hmm. and it's we're divided against ourselves in some ways, because the one we know we're supposed to have says what the scriptures that you just quoted. Mm-hmm. We know that stuff that's been drilled into us, you know, that He will never leave or forsake us. There is no condemnation.
Right.
You know, just as the many were made sinful, you know, so also through the righteous act of one man will everyone be made righteous. And all of that stuff, we know that. And then when it really comes down to it, when it comes down to how we have to walk with other people, it's like, yeah, but my stuff's actually worse. God might make an exception for me because my stuff just feels dirtier.
It's almost like, I love the way you describe it. There's like this theology of the head and a theology of the heart. The theology of the head, the one we know, right? But then the theology of the heart is the one we really live by. And that's the one that we have to kind of be truthful with ourselves about and say, hey, what do I really believe here? Because it's going to show up in our life. Okay, well, so
I was going to say, and sometimes it's not about, it may not be about being afraid of what God's going to think if it all gets out. Because people who believe kind of know, we don't really spring any surprises on God.
Right.
You know, our confession, he's not going, oh, really, you did that, huh? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right.
It's that we have had reasons maybe not to trust people.
Right. Yeah. And you know, just like, you know, in the last show, you were open and honest about your struggle with depression, living in the land of depression and anxiety. You know, I just shared my struggle with same-gender attractions. To me, I look at that as those are gifts to people. You know, we're partnering with God and we're giving them a gift to be real about who we are. You know, and sure, we could go to that place of fear, of judgment or condemnation. But I learned a lesson a long time ago, and that is what other people think of me is none of my business. And I love that saying. I mean, there's just so many boundaries in that saying. I mean, it's not that we shouldn't care about what people think of us, right? But I mean, it's really, at the end of the day, it's none of our business.
Well, and there's such an opposite reality to the one that we believe when it comes to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's the one reality that if we really open the door to that closet, everything in my life is going to go off the rails. That's the thought. And but the real reality, the bigger, the sweeter, the more beautiful reality, is that what if God wanted to take the thing that you were most afraid of? What if you could hand it to him as an offering, not knowing what he'll do with it? That's the scary part. Mm. Not knowing what it would create with other people, but what if he wanted to take that thing? What if he wanted to make it known that the very thing that the enemy wanted to use to destroy you is the thing that he wanted to make you beautiful in and glorious and powerful?
Right.
What if that were true?
Right. It reminds me of that Crystal Lewis song, Beauty from Ashes. You know,
right?
He'll give beauty from ashes. Okay, so we want to model this authenticity and this openness for folks, and we want, you know, like our counseling clients to be able to have something to connect with on a regular basis outside of that therapy time, and for folks who are searching and might run across our podcast on the web or whatever to be able to connect without that outside of that. Beyond that, you know, every once in a while we want to have guests. So, folks, we want to know, I mean, what kind of guests are you looking for? Please just email us and let us know if you have somebody that you'd like to be on the show. I just got an email from someone the other day saying, hey, have you thought about this person? We love that. And we'll give our contact information out at the end of the show. But guests can give us insight into things that, you know, Taff, you and I don't know about. And we can draw that out of them. So, you know, we'll be looking forward to that. We also want to have your input on a new format. We're going to be playing with this and trying to implement new things, tapping into the genius of our new producer, Mike De Herrera, to come up with something that really works for you, the listener, and gives you something to sink your teeth into. You know, I like the idea of a studio audience. I mean, could you imagine a bunch of people in here? And
that would be nice.
Yeah, asking questions. And
we would have to get an applause sign or a laughter sign, things like that.
Right, yeah. Are you implying that people don't know when to laugh at my jokes?
I wouldn't say that, really. but just in case that happens, you just want people to get the cues.
You wouldn't say that. Right. So you're saying that's the theology of your head, but not the theology of your heart.
Right, exactly.
Okay, good.
Yes.
All right, just checking.
Yeah. You read that well. That was good.
Want to make sure we're speaking the vernacular here. So, you know, a studio audience where people can ask questions. And, you know, by the way, if you have questions that you'd like for us to read on air, of course, we won't say your name unless you want us to, but you know, we can read things anonymously and answer those questions for you, whether that has to do with sexual addiction recovery, freedom from pornography, compulsive masturbation, yes, the M word. We had somebody speak on the M word in our church once, and somebody thought, well, what's the M word? Marriage? You know, so
yeah, we need to be clear about the M word. Exactly.
The M word, right? So yes, we can say masturbation. It is in the dictionary, and nobody's going to hear. Check your
masturbation.
Pulse. Masturbation. Masturbation. Everyone say it on the count of three. Okay. Are you still? You good? Okay. Okay. Nobody died. And things like, you know, marriage questions. Maybe you're struggling with same gender attraction issues. Maybe you're a wife of a sex addict. And you need support too, because, you know, getting into recovery is kind of like being in a car crash where you weren't driving, but your husband was. And now, you know, you're standing at the emergency room door. He has a decision to make. Am I going to go in and receive treatment or not? And you have that same decision to make. You need to assess your injuries. Is this just a bump on my head here? Or is this like a full concussion? And so, you know, as an adult, you have that decision to make too. And Taff, I know we didn't talk about it as much in the last show when we talked about your story and Legend Counseling, but, you know, you help people over the telephone, as I do, with individual counseling and marital counseling over the phone. And you even do, of course, groups, just like Healing for the Soul. But you're also doing marriage intensives. That's something that we've never got into. Talk a little bit about what is a marriage intensive, and who would need one? Why would I need one?
When there is significant fallout with a couple, maybe a new discovery is made, maybe somebody's been unfaithful in the marriage and that story has just broke, that late-breaking story just... People who come to intensives are at a place where they don't know how they can go forward another day or two unless they really get in and get some immediate help to spend more than your typical 55-minute therapy session.
Right.
And then have to wait a week to do that again. These are people who need to manage fallout and pain and decision-making mm-hmm. because their world just got turned upside down.
Right.
And it's I consider it a sacred place mm-hmm. to be able to spend that kind of time. And what I do with that is I'll block off large chunks of my calendar for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And they will come in and we'll spend time individually. We'll spend time together. They'll spend time maybe partaking of some other ministry here in town. Mm-hmm. Our scenery here is just ridiculously beautiful.
Right.
And nature is very healing. Mm-hmm. Very good place for them to connect, but we really spend some time looking at what's just happened. Mm-hmm. Where do you go from here? Sometimes we end up going back in their stories to some older pain, mm-hmm. Dealing with anger and overreaction. And a lot of times people will choose to do an intensive because they know that whatever's about to happen is going to be a giant overreaction that could just blow everything up mm-hmm. because... No one's thinking clearly.
Right, right. Absolutely. So I imagine that you also, just like you do in your individual counseling, infuse story in the story of our marriage in as part of your work.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it is beautiful here, folks. You know, it's God's country. I mean, we're right across the street, basically, from the Air Force Academy. You can go across the hall from the room we're sitting in to the window and look at Pikes Peak directly. And so... God definitely has set this area here apart. I want to get back a little bit to talking about the vision for the show, Tab, because, well, we want it to have be a conversation. I mean, I could even see us doing, like, I don't know, a live therapy session on the air someday and helping somebody with their problems right there. I don't know. We want to think kind of outside the box. But the main thing is we want it to be a ministry to our listeners, and we want it to be something that our clients can tap into and be able to be helped by in real time. And aside from giving you know, information about what we do as a ministry and the different places where we go, we by the way, are going to be doing something kind of special coming up here. I want to talk a little bit about Love One Out.
Yeah.
If you don't already know, Taff's ministry, Legend Counseling, which, by the way, you can find them on the web at legendcounseling.com. Taff and I are both part of a network called Exodus International, and a counselors network that help people with same-gender attractions, which is sort of another form of sexual brokenness. And Love One Out is a ministry that's put on... an event put on by both Exodus and Focus on the Family, and they're having their 10th anniversary Love One Out event. to minister to those affected by homosexuality. And it's going to be right here in Colorado Springs on the 25th of October here, so just next month. And so, you know, it's going to be an opportunity to learn more if you're a parent, if you're a person who's personally struggling with this, and both Taff and I will be there talking about our ministries and whatnot. By the way, if people want to get in touch with you, Taff, what's the best way to do that by phone, and how does that work in terms of setting up an appointment?
If they find me on the web or find a business card or a brochure somewhere, the best way to contact me is through email. There are actually two really great ways, but I can be contacted at, this is Taff, T-A-F-F, at legendcounseling.com. There's not a T on the end of Taft, because many scores of you will want to do that, because somehow it just feels right to put a T on the end of it rather than the beginning.
It's
so there's only one,
you know, it's
right?
It's a presidential name.
Yeah, and that's just the wrong message for me. But so TAFF at legendcounseling.com, and it's just one legend. It's your legend. It's not legends.
Multiple legends. Yeah.
Right.
Just
not multiple legends, because legend. You can only do one at a time.
That's right.
So Legend Counseling. And then I can be reached nationwide toll free at 877-223-7331.
7331. Okay.
And if I am not in session, I'll be picking up that phone to set up appointment times and answer any questions about scheduling and things like that. But as in terms of scheduling, though, the email is dynamite.
Okay, great. So aside from that, if you're, while we're talking about events here, if you're in need of connecting and you're going to be in the Memphis area, or if you're around there, I'll be doing a retreat, a men's weekend in Memphis, and that is over the weekend of October 17th through 19th. So find out more information at healingforthesoul.org. on the services tab and the retreat page. So let's talk a little bit more about the vision for the show, Taff. Have you ever done any radio in your time?
Never.
Wow. So what's it like for you stepping up to the microphone and putting your heart and your life out there in front of these folks?
It doesn't really feel all that unnatural. I've got this strange mesh thing almost touching my nose, but other than that, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, this is a great way to communicate. When you've listened to radio shows before, and I know that part of the genesis of this show was in, I used to always listen to Stephen Arterburn on New Life Live and Dr. Dobson on Folks in the Family. And I always envisioned something that gave people really helpful information and things like that. But when you're listening to a radio show, what do you tend to connect to? What do you really tend to want? And what has been helpful to you in your radio listenership career?
Well, it's when you come across a show where you hear, you know, within a few seconds that you're listening in on people who are not, it doesn't have a production sound to it. It's you're listening to people in conversation, people who are really engaging with each other, maybe people that have got some rich relationship. And when you hear them, I like to feel like I'm in the room.
Right.
And that's just me. You know, I love to feel like I'm sitting with these guys. And I'm right there, and even though they can't hear me when I ask my questions out loud, mm-hmm. you know, I love the fact that I'm just sitting in on a brotherhood that feels really good to me. I was thinking a minute ago that, you know, God is in a somewhat short time has given you and I such a rich brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I mean, we've known each other, what, 2-3 weeks now? That would be fast.
Well... Yeah, but by somewhat short,
yeah,
you know, maybe a year's time,
yeah.
But cultivating brotherhood, cultivating right. trust, and the ability to walk together,
right?
And that just seems rich to me. I'd love to invite people into that. The shows that I've been engrossed with have been shows that felt just like that.
And talk about brotherhood, because I mean, God definitely has crafted something for us very sweet and special in just a year's time. But talk to me about and tell folks, how do you conceptualize brotherhood? We just got a couple minutes, but I want folks to get a real nugget there, how you see that happening and what's that about? Because we throw around this word accountability a lot in the church, but brotherhood seems to be something more of the heart and going beyond accountability.
Yeah, this is unfortunately, man, I could go on this a bit, way more than the couple of minutes we have left. Mm-hmm. But relationships between men in the body of Christ can get so off the rails with hierarchy or position, or you know, somebody's always needing to gauge themselves by where they are in position to other men. And for that reason, they just rarely ever walk together authentically.
Mm.
They don't really know each other behind the scenes.
Wow.
And in the need to be significant and the push for, I need my ministry to be significant. I need my gifts and callings to be significant. Mm-hmm. We just miss just being a brother, just being an equal, round table stuff.
Right. Absolutely. Sounds very appealing. And in fact, let's just do the next show on that, okay?
Next show, absolutely.
We'll just do it on brotherhood. Fantastic. We'll spell that right out. Because, I mean, it's one thing to be accountable. And it's one thing to, quote, unquote, hold each other accountable. But to me, that seems like it could go to a place where it's about the law and about legalism and about duty. And those are things that don't tend to nourish friendships. Whereas I know, like in our brotherhood, for example, I can tell you anything. And I love your phrase, nothing gets renegotiated, and that doesn't mean that, we're not still accountable to each other, but I would rather have accountability genesis and develop out of authenticity than the other way around.
Exactly right. And I've said this before too, and I really mean this. This has not come back to bite me yet, ever. I tell guys all the time, if I have a hard time trusting someone who wouldn't fight me in order to help me,
right,
if I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And when men are doing that for each other, when you've got that kind of bond and nothing gets renegotiated,
right,
that's good stuff.
Right. Amen. In fact, I was just visiting with our friends, Mike and Patty Pinkston. You're going to love this.
Oh, great.
Before we came here today to tape, and I said, well, you know what? This is Taft's first big taping, and what I'm really excited about is that he hasn't shown he's nervous at all, which I love, because other hosts we've had in the past have, their first couple tapings, I don't know, what do I do, and been insecure about it. But I said, if Taft does get, nervous, then I'll just tell him to knock it off. And, I am willing to fight you, Taft, even though you're, bigger than me, and you're from Texas. I know you do the same thing for me. Years ago, I had a friend who left his wife. And, it took me about a half second to think of what I needed to do. And what I needed to do was drive over there and talk him out of it, and just say, look, man, you are making a mistake. And, I got other friends that in my life that are willing to do that. Brad. Brad has just been a friend of mine for 20 years, and I know, and he's asked me on several occasions, what are you doing, man? So I'm glad that
it's
you're
there risky,
for me that way.
It's messy.
It's healthy risk. So we want to tell people, tune in next time, of course, when we talk about brotherhood. Listen, it's been a great show today, and Taff is knocking another home run out of the park. So I hope you have caught the vision for our show. Again, please let us know. Email me at help@healingforthesoul.org. That's help@healingforthesoul.org with your ideas, themes that you want us to talk about, guests you'd like us to have on the show. If you've got ideas about the format and what we can include in there, and if you want to be a part of our studio audience, or if you've got questions you'd like us to read on air, we need your feedback. This is your show. So, God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program, or to make a tax-deductible donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening, and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.